Okay, first thing I wanted to start with was that the Tosfos and Bava Basra, that we ended up with Tzedakah yesterday, because it's an important chiddush in Tosfos. And it's a good Mara Malkum that whenever you're asked to talk about Tzedakah, you'll have this Tosfos down, okay? And I'm a halak. So the Gemara and Bava Basra on Chesamid Beis points out, and it's also found in Ksubis and Mentesimid Beis, but I think it's more famously known here as the Tosfos and Bava Basra, especially because the Olam's learning Daf Yomi Bava Basra now too as well. The Gemara says that there was a Amora, namely a Hela Gemara. All the Amoraim are great. Good to see you, Tzvi. And that is that Lamaisa, here you are. Take this. And take this. Okay. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Chesamid Beis, that Rava made a pledge to give Tzedakah, and he did not give the money. So he reneged on the pledge. So Rav Nosson Barami made the pledge, and he didn't give the money. So Rava forced him to give the money, and they collected $400 Zuz Tzedakah. That's Gemara Bava Basra, Chesamid Beis. So Tosfos is bothered by Akasha here, in Bava Basra, Daf Chesamid Beis. Let's look at it inside quickly. We've got a lot to do, but let's look at it inside since you have it in front of you. Achvid Rav Nosson. Yeah, I'll read the Tosfos and someone else will pick up from when we do the Gemara. Achvid Rav Nosson. Vim Toimar. Vav Perikol Basa Chulun Daf Kuf Yudam Vez. Amar Kol Mitzvah Seshi Shematan Tzchar. Kesuva Vesida. Ein Vez Shematan Muzarim Aleha. There is a klal in Chulun Kuf Yudam Vez that any Mitzvah Seshi with the Torah delineates reward, Bezin has no ability to force you to fulfill the Mitzvah. Why not? So Rashi over there, if you look it up in Chulin, I didn't give it to you, but you should look it up. Rashi gives a rationale behind the rule, because that itself is the punishment. If the Torah delineates a reward and you don't do the mitzvah, you lose out that reward. That itself labels a punishment. So as if you're already punished. So if you're already punished, then Beza can't punish you again. You follow what I'm saying? That's the rationale of the klal. The gabit staka ksiv, ki patoch tiftach es yad kolo. There are some mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah delineates reward. Namely, what? Kibud Avim, you live a long life. Shuluach HaKen, you live a long life. What else? You give stock, you'll be blessed. So Tosfos says, Avam Kasha. How on earth could Rav force Rav Nosson Barami to be good on his pledge when it's against the din? You can't force anyone. Stock is one of those mitzvahs the Torah delineates reward. It's Avam Kasha. Okay, we got it? You got the Kasha? That's Tosfos' Kasha. So Tosfos can give four Terutzu. Let's go. Number one. Tosfos says the following. Tosfos says, "Vomer Rabbeinu Tam, Dai Kfiya B'Dvarim, Kamo Kfiya," and the Bach fixes it up because it's hard to read this line. Tosfos Kamo Kfiya Rav Papa Ravuda of the Perek Nara. We found it in Mem Tesamid Aleph. The Gemara has a story. The Ravuda forced with words. He coerced him with words. Rav Yehuda, and you see that what beating a guy up is the Isser of Kfiya, but to coerce a guy in words is no problem of Kfiya. So that's not a problem. So that's Tosfos' first teretz. Okay, let's get it down. Kfiya B'Dvarim. Okay. Tosfos' first teretz is what? Is kfiya bidvarim. Okay? That's number one. That's what Tosfos says, kfiya bidvarim. Okay? Forcing. But forcing with words is acceptable. It's only when you beat up a guy is it a problem. Okay? When you beat up a guy, it's a breach of that thing. But if you coerce a guy with words, it's fine. That's number one teretz. V'od, and he quoted Gemara and Ksubis to prove that kfiya bidvarim. How you doing, Dovi? Here you are. Take the Mar Makaimis, okay? So in other words, the first answer we're dealing with Tosfos and Bava Basra is that the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim made a pledge to give Tzedakah, and he backed out on it. So they forced him. They beat him up to collect it. That's against the klal. The klal is any mitzvah associated with the Torah delineates reward based and cannot go for. Why not? What's the reason of the rule, Yosef? Rashi says in Chulin Kufyudim based because why? Losing out the reward is itself the punishment. So you can't be punished twice. So how can Basin beat you up? Yes? So the first answer is they weren't really kofa. They were kofa what? Bidvarim. Like the Gemara has a case in Ksubas, review to what? Force to? Repopa, force review to Bidvarim. Number one. Number two. Vo tirits tahacha kiblo lam shi yakufu lo son gabai. They made their own tanai. The city made a tanai. What was the tanai? The city made a tanai. Here, asu tanai. They made a tanai that anyone who reneges, asu tanai shi. Adam Shalom Nasan Kofet. You can make your own taxes in your own city. They made their own tax in their own city that someone who doesn't give stock, it can be what? Someone who doesn't give stock in their own city can be what? Can be forced. Okay? Anyone that doesn't get stuck in their own city can be forced. So that was the case. Generally, by tzedakah, you can't be what? You can't be coerced to give. But if the city makes their own condition, it's considered to be what? It's considered to be acceptable. That's the second teretz.
Do that nowadays?
What'd you say?
Elias, could you do that?
Yeah, you can do that nowadays. Anyone who makes a pledge to give it for an aliyah and they don't do it, and they want to make it tonight, they can be punished. No doubt. If the city wants to do it, the shul wants to do it, no doubt. Okay, Dovi, you got it? I don't, the computer's not getting distracted, no? Okay. Are you got the Gemara there? You have the copy of the Tosafot Bava Basra. B'daf Chesam and Beis. Second teretz. Let's see the third teretz. Ulari. Ulari nira de bitstaka kofano so mishum nisbe lav. Dechsiv ba. Lo tamitz is lavavka lo tikvus v'goymer. Oh, there's a third teretz. What's the third teretz, Sir David? What's the third teretz? The third teretz of Tosafot is, how can you kofa a guy on staka? And there's a klal, any mitzvah says, the Torah delineates reward, basically can't be kofa. So how could they be kofa a guy, kofa Rav Nassim Rami, who pledged to give staka? How could it be? So this is a beautiful teretz, the recess. That staka is not only an essay, but it's a lav. There's a lav to a staka. This says, don't close up your heart, don't clench your fist. So since staka, there's a lav too. Since by staka, there's a lav as well, the halacha is you can be kofa. Okay? Now this is against the Ramban. There's a Ramban, whether it's in Ksubis, I think it's in Ksubis. It might even be a Kedushin, I think, right by us, on Lama Dalet. The Ramban writes that the staka, the Iker mitzvah by staka is the essay. The lav supports the essay. Our Tosfos that we're quoting here in Bava Basra views the lav as an independent what than the essay. You follow me? So if you view the lav as being mechazik the essay, then what you have is there what? Hey, Ephraim, you sit there. You see beferish that what the lav is an independent what lav. According to Tosfos, therefore you can be kofar. That's against the Ramban. I want you to get down. I think the Ramban is by us a kedushin that when it comes to a lav, there are certain lavim that are mechazik the essay. It's not like they're an independent lav, and therefore, like for example. Some Rishonim say by the essay of Maka, building a Maka on your roof, says, Lo tasim dami b'vececha. The lav there is the mechazik, the essay of building a Maka. You follow? It's an independent lav. Tosfos doesn't view the lav that's stuck as being a mechazik, the essay. He views it as being independent. Thereby, he could be kofa. That's Tosfos' third teretz. Okay? Then Tosfos gives a fourth teretz. Let's see. Tosfos says, Uleretzpo nira d'harein beiz muzarin al mitzisheshi shematan. Shematan tzchar kasuva betzide, haynu deyne enoshin. Ah, what's the fourth teretz? The fourth teretz is that Beis Din is not mechuyev Yosef to force a guy on a mitzvah where the Torah delineates reward. But if they want, they what? If they want to, they what? They can. If they want to, they can. Al pi din. So number four is that Beis Din im rotzeh. If they wrote Selah, what? Lakuf, they can. They don't have to, but if they want to, they can. They're not mechuyev to. And then he quotes a raya for that. There was a guy who didn't respect his father, so what did they do? The kaftu. They tied him up on a post. Vamalu, he yelled at the base and shafku, let me go. Hachi perusho. Ein chemuzorim lachricho achiyase kishar mitzisese. He yelled at the base and says, you guys aren't mechuyev to do this. If a guy refuses to do a sukkah or a lulav, beat him up. Right? So according to the fourth teretz of Tosfos, what's the din? He yelled at him. He said, what are you doing? You don't have to do that. Let me go. The other teretz of Tosfos will say what? He yelled at them and say, what you're doing is usur. Okay?
Until he dies?
Not literally. Listen to me. You beat him up good. Okay? Not till he actually dies, but you beat him up good. Ksubis pay for up. Priest Bachov mitzvah. Paying back a Bachov is a mitzvah. Is kofen oto achetet in afshot. The Gemara says in Ksubis. The guy refused to pay. So you see that there are four terutzim in the Tois. I want you to know why you can be kofa a guy on stalking. Okay? Four different terutzim. Now, the Rav Zatzal added a fifth. One second. What was the Rav's shot? The Rambam says, in Hilchos Matnasanim Perek Zayin and Perek Tes. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin, the Rav added a fifth teretz. What does it say in Perek Zayin? The Rav said in Perek Zayin, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah yachid. Chovas a yachid latet staka. What's the marker? The Rav said Parshas Re'eh. What's Parshas Re'eh? Where it says patoach tiftach es yacha. That's the essay. What's the lav? The little time it says lavavcha v'lo tikput es yacha. There's an essay in a lav. That's Perek Zayin in the Rambam. Hilchos Matnos Anin. Please get it. Hilchos Matnos Anin. But the Rambam has another halacha, Perek Tes, where he says kol ear. Perek Tes. He says kol ear. That's a chovas at Sibor to give staka. There's an obligation on the shul, on the community, to give staka. Therefore, the Rav wanted to say, Perek Zion, you can't force. A private obligation of a yachin, an individual, you can't force someone who reneges on a staka. But in Perek Tes, you certainly can force. Perek Tes is a chovas at Sibor. And since Perek Tes is a chovas at Sibor, you can force. And those are the two parshas in the Torah. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Anim, it's a little bit of an ukimta, because then you're going to have to say the case of Baba Basra was a chovas at Sibor. The Gemara didn't make any indication of that. But you have to say it was an obligation of the community. Somehow he had pledged to that, or he was gathering money for the chovas at Sibor that the shul's obligation is, and he reneged on that. So they took him to town on it, and they said, what you're doing is wrong. Halacha l'maisa. And that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Matnas Anim.
It's a good job.
In Perek Tes. It says, Kol ir sheish bo Yisroel chayav l'amid b'em gabay tzedaka. And somehow they reneged that. Doesn't really read well into the Gemara, the truth is. But that's how the Rav wanted to answer the Kasha. What'd you say?
If the Rav was saying for Chovas HaYochid, you're not...
Chovas HaYochid, that's the klal. You can't be kofa. But for Chovas HaTzibur, you can. And what are the two parshas in the Torah?
How can you kofa for...
One
for
sec, what are the two parshas in the Torah? I didn't write it.
Yeah.
Parshas Bahar. It says, Gir V'Toshav. Parshas Bahar. Gir V'Toshav Chayimach. Yes? Gir V'Toshav Chayimach. That's Parshas Bahar. So therefore, the Rav wanted to say that we're talking about Baba Basra on a Chovas HaTzibur. So like I said, it's a little bit of an ukimta, to say the least. But Lomai, that's what he says. Now, I had a kash on the Rav. My kash on the Rav is that in Empiric Zion, he quotes two Makoros. Mitzvah says, L'tein tzadik, tzadaka l'anim, kifi masheroi l'ani. He might say, Yada no sin masekis, as long as he can afford it. Shenera patoch titachas yachalo. What part is that? Re'ei. V'nemar v'chazak tabo gir v'tosh v'chayimach. V'nemar v'chayachachimach. Where is that pasuk? Bahar. So he's talking Perek Zion, which is the Chovas HaYochid. Which parsha does he quote? Quotes both. Should have only quoted what? Should have quoted only Parshas Re'eh. So I thought it was difficult. So Ephraim wanted to say this morning, he suggested the Rebbe, the Rambam is opening up the whole halacha of staka. So he points out both tracks in the beginning of the whole concept of giving staka. Okay? Adam, we missed the whole mahalach now. Staka, Lamaisa. Finish the whole mahalach. Adam, right here. Let's talk. Okay, but now let's focus.
He switches the order.
In other words, he switches the order, which I thought was very good what Ephraim said. In the Parsha, the Chumash, what comes first? Bahar or Re'eh?
Bahar.
But the Rambam says, Patoch Tiftach Yatcha is first what? First is Re'eh, and then he quotes what? Then he quotes Bahar, because in Perek Zion is the Chovas HaYochid, and in Perek Tes is the what? Is the Chovas HaTzibur. So the Rambam switches the order of the Psukim. So he wanted to introduce the whole what? He wanted to introduce the whole thing. So maybe that's how you can answer my kasha on the Rav. That's what Ephraim wanted to say. Again, you got that? Ben, you got what I'm saying? He wanted to introduce the whole thing, and it's true there's the Rambam inverts the order, because the Perek Zion first he talks Yachid, which is Parshas Re'eh, and then he talks about, and then he quotes the pasuk of Sivor. What?
What is the order
he quotes? Patoch Tiftach, Re'eh, and then Bahar. So I was bothered by why you quote Re'eh at all. Why you call it Bahar at all?
Yeah.
Perek Zion's a Yachid. So Ephraim wants to say, because he's introducing the concept of the two tracks of Staka. And it works well, because Perek Zion is the Yachid. He quoted Re'eh first, and then he quotes Bahar second, because that's when he's going to talk about Perek Tes. Okay, would have been better, Ephraim. It's a good shot what you suggested, but I think it would have been better if he would have just quoted Perek Zion, Bahar, I'm sorry, Perek Zion, Re'eh, Patoch Tiftacha, and then Perek Tes, he would have quoted what? Bahar. He doesn't do that. That's a little bit of a difficulty. So it's not exactly neat, perfect in the Rambam. But that's the answer I want you to get. It's written in one of the Masorah journals. The OU puts out Masorah journals, the Rav's Kiddushim, and it's found in there a fifth answer. Lamassi, you have four Tirutz Matisus and a fifth answer of the Rav.
Is that like what Rav Shachter has on the Rav? Is this
anything? No, different. They have shtickle, small shtickle Tirutz in Masorah.
Yeah.
Rav Shachter edited it, though, but Lamassi.
Oh, you know, Rav Shachter has a safer on Kiddushim. It's the same.
That's different. It's different. They're smaller shtickles. Pinchas, you had a kasha before.
So, go
ahead.
The case was that it was a Rav that was kofa, this guy to pay, right?
Rava. The Helig of Rava.
He
was kofa of Nasa Barami.
Why can't you just say that only based in can't be kofa, but one Rav can be kofa?
Well, it's the same thing, Lamais. Same thing. It's all kfir. Yeah, but he was representative. Co-based. When it says Machina Torch, it's it in Afsho, it's not just referring to a base, it's referring to, you know, a Rav also. Yeah. We're not Machalic. It's a good possibility. Come on, let's focus, guys.
There's no
Chiluk
like that.
When you say the Rav represents the base. Yeah, go ahead.
No, Rav Salvechik says that by a Yachid you're able to be Kofa, but not by.
No. By a Yachid you're not allowed to be Kofa. By a Tzibor you're allowed to. So that's why I said it's a bit of an ukimta in the Gemara. You have to say it was a chovas atzibor, where you don't get any sense of that from the Gemara per se. But he's making an ukimta, okay? And he proved these two tracks from the Raman Perek Zayin and Perek Tes, and he proved it from the two parshas Nechumish. I asked the kasha from the Makar on Perek Zayin, and Ephraim's giving an answer. Just saying, at the end of the day, it would have been neater if in Perek Zayin he would have just said patoch as tiftach, and Perek Tes he would have just mentioned lotikus etz yakra. Okay? Let's go. Okay? Simi, you got it? That's the first mahalach I wanted to mention. We got it? Please get this mahalach on stalker. Ephraim, you got it? Let's get it down. Okay? Second mahalach now. Before we start Vaitan the Gemara. There is something called a Mishapara. Okay? There is something called a Mishapara. What does a Mishapara mean? Mishnah has in the beginning above Metziah. As it follows. Please get it. A person can buy metalkalin with kesef. Simi, come on, please. A person can buy metalkalin with kesef, okay? You can buy movables with money, okay? What's the din? You can buy movables with money only minatera. Maos arkonos minatora. Money, you can acquire objects with money. Maos dvar Torah, maos konos. But midrabanan, they disallowed you from buying chafatzim, from metalkalin. Why did they disallow you from buying metalkalin? Because there's a clause called Nisufu Chatecha Ba'aliyah. What does Nisufu Chatecha Ba'aliyah mean? That if I put the money down to buy 30 bushels, and I'll pick them up in 3 weeks from a fellow, and there's a fire that goes in the person's silo, the person's not going to try to save it, because they're my bushels. So the Chachamim were very upset that the fellow would not try to save the bushels. So what do? They say you cannot buy metalkalin with kesef. Mo'os Einan konos midrabanan. Maos einan konos. Okay? Let's write it like this. Dvar Torah, maos konos. Midrabanan, they said that kesef is lo kona metalkalin. They said that kesef is not kona metalkalin because of Shema, Nisrafu chaticha ba'aliyah. We're afraid that there'll be a fire in the attic, and therefore, what is the din? What is halacha? The halacha is the guy won't save it, and therefore, you need what? You need meshicha. You need meshicha to be kona. That's the din. Kesef does not acquire metalkalin. Meshicha is what requires a metalkalin. Because of this gzeirid the rabbanon, it's an hefker. Chum got rid of it. Okay. So you have a man that gives money to another man. Reuven gives money to Shimon to buy a car. But he didn't drive it out of the driveway yet, which is called Mashiach. Then he says, you know what? I want to back out, he says. If he backs out, he did a terrible thing. If he backs out, Adam, let's get it. If he backs out, he did a terrible thing, he receives a curse. From the Anche Dora Mabel and Dora Flaga. The Dora Mabel we know is the Noach, during the times of Noach. The Dora Flaga is the Tower of Babel, Bavel, right? So we find that you receive a mishapara because a man was not on it. He didn't act on his word. He said he was going to buy the automobile. He backs out. It's a terrible thing. It's called a mishapara. It's a mission in the beginning of. He gave the money, but he wasn't kona yet. He didn't do a mashicha.
The guy has to return
the money, but it's not a good thing in Orach Chaim. Like, he backed out of something, he receives a curse. It's called a misha parah. Okay? But that's only in the case where he put the money down, but he didn't do the mashicha yet. It's a mishnah in the beginning of Perek Azav. I think it's Memdalin and Beis in Bab Metzia. So that's what it means, misha parah. I want you to know that. Someone who's not omid bidiburo. Me, she'eno, omid bidiburo. But that's only if you put down the money. You got me? That's only if you put down the money, but he didn't do a mashicha. That's only if you put down the money, but he didn't do a mashicha. So then he receives this terrible thing called a misha parah. That's the din. Okay? That's Allah. That's the din of a misha parah. So what I want to know here is, now, we had a Gemara on Chesim and Beis and Kiddushin, where if you buy a Shifcha Knanis, what's the din? You remember the story with Bnei Rav Huna? What was the story with Bnei Rav Huna? Bnei Rav Huna wanted to what? They wanted to buy a Shifcha Knanis. They didn't have any cash on them. So what did they do?
They gave a
Nascha. They gave a piece of metal. And what did the Gemara say? Nascha en kan, Mashkon en kan. So I want you to get this. The Rif writes from this din, the Rif writes from this halacha, and they backed out of it because remember she got more expensive? You remember that? She got more expensive, and the din is, if you want to buy it, they had to pay the price. So it seems like that what? It seems from here that they backed out of it. It seems from that in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say they bought her. Okay, but it seems like they didn't go ahead and buy her because she's going to be more expensive.
Because it wasn't chal, so therefore they don't want to eat more.
I understand that, but they did. But it seems to be, is putting down the nascha meaningful at all? So that's what the Rif writes. I want you to get it down. The Rif writes in Bab Metzia and Chavtesim al Dapir Rif, he proves from here that if you put a mashkon on down to buy something, it is mutter for you to back out of it. And it's not like where you gave money and you backed out of it before driving the car out. The Rif brings a raya, please get it down, that if you put a mashkon down to buy something and you don't buy it, you can back out and you don't get a misha parah. So let's get it. One second, front. Okay? That's what the Rif Shita. Please get it. The Rif writes, Ein Din Misha Para Benesina Smashko. Only when you what? Only when you get money. Only when you actually give money is there such a din. Okay? Only when you give money is there such a din. If you put down a mashko, there is no halacha. It is not like he did anything. Alpidin. He didn't do anything. Alpidin. And the Ramban comes and argues. The Ramban says you have no raya from our Gemara. The Ramban says there is no raya at all, none whatsoever from our Gemara. That's the din. The Ramban says there's no raya from our Gemara at all. And therefore he leaves the door open to say that it is possible that maybe there is a misha parah. That if you give a mashkon. So Ramban says there's no raya. So I want you to get this machlokes. The Ramban says, "Ain raya."
So there's a possibility of,
because he says like Pinchas said, there's no transaction. Transaction, get it off the ground. There's nothing. At least when you give money, it's like it's meaningless.
Like Moses still comes from Minatora.
In other words, when you give money, something happened. Lemaisa, so when you back out, it's bad. When you give a mashkon, nothing existed. So the Rif says, all I want you to know is the Ramban says you have no raya from our Gemara. You have no raya from our Gemara. So the Kso says the following. I want you to get this. You remember we had two approaches. What were two of the three approaches when we talked about mashkon? What was the first approach? The first approach that a mashkon only is meaningful when one, it's in the landscape of a what? Of a chov. There is no chov. So if there is no chov, I understand the Rif. But if you hold like the Ramban, what does the Ramban say? That there is Yischaivus, remember? There is Yischaivus that can be created verbally. So he wants to say the Ksos that according to the Ramban, you can understand why there's a Misha Parah. So that's why I want to say it's a Ramban L'shitoso perhaps. The Ramban in our Sugya says Yischaivus verbally you can create. It's just not a good enough for Kinyan Kesef. You couldn't be Mekadosh a woman, you couldn't buy a car. So it's possible to suggest Al Pidin. You follow me? It's possible to suggest Al Pidin that there is Yischaivus created verbally, and since there's Yischaivus created verbally, if you back out, there is, God forbid, a what? A Mishapara. There is, God forbid, a Mishapara.
So the Mishapara was created through the...
Through the verbalization that you were going to buy the thing. Correct.
The Mashkon
Lamaisa, yes, the Mashkon created the Ischaivis, correct. The verbal Ischaivis. And therefore, according to the Ramban, that's why when I see the Shitasu comes out, according to the Ramban, Yesh what? Yesh Mishapara. There would be an absolute Mishapara. There's no riot from our Gemara. Our Gemara just says it was nothing was Chal. Halach Lamaisa. But doesn't, you know, talk to the issue of maybe there was a Mishapara? Maybe there was a Mishapara. Okay, so we got this floor. I want to say it's the Ramban L'Shitoso. The Ramban can be found where? In Bob Metziah Mem Chesed Idzir Maskal Kosef. I'm putting together the Ramban here and the Ramban above Metziah. Okay? Yes, Ephraim.
General question on all these sugyas.
Yes.
Why don't we just say they make what's called masna, like a tnai, and that's it. Like, it's good. Everything works. Like the guy, let's for example, the Amma, the Bishop Kananus, he says, okay, I accept this mashkon, or I accept this.
There was tonight. No. You're right, but they didn't make it tonight. You can always make it tonight. Didn't
they made it tonight.
Yes. Even in Shomrim, you can make it all tonight. The Mishnah above Mitzvah Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. Master Shomrachinu Yoshke Shoa. Right.
Yeah.
Shomrachinu can up his liability like a Shoa. You can configure everything like Rav Yehuda. Davar Sheva Mamet Tanai Kayim. But they didn't do that. Absolutely.
Said, like,
yes, they used it regular. And then one more nakuda I want you to get on this. The Mordechai. In Simon Tuf Pei Dalet is Docha the Raya of the Rith from our sugya. And he says, Allah Lamaisa, this is an interesting chiluk, I want you to get this. They only gave the mashkon after they decided to what? To buy it. They gave the mashkon rak achar shegamru b'dayetim l'kdos esamekach. Therefore there's no mishapara. But Allah Lamaisa, if mitchila, the lokeach knows he wants to buy this thing from the very outset. He knows he wants to buy this thing from the very outset. And he brings a mashkon, then there's a mishapara. Yeah, and he understood the Gemara in this story that only after they put the what? Metal down did they really decide that they wanted to what? That they wanted to buy the shifcha. So therefore there's no mishapara in that case. Because they only decided after they put the thing down. Yeah, I guess they were thinking, you know what, let's put it down and then we'll decide. So in that case there's no mishapara. But if you are really motivated to buy this thing, and you put this thing down to try to show that what? That you're really going to buy it, and you back out, then there's a Mishapara. That's what the Mordechai says. Okay, that wasn't my impression from the Gemara, but I understand, you could definitely read the Gemara like that. You know how sometimes, you know, let's put it down and then we'll decide afterwards or not. There are people that do that. We'll put it down, then we'll decide afterwards whether we want to buy it or not. So that case, there's no Mishapara. But if you know from the very outset when you leave your house, you want to buy this thing, and you don't have cash on it, you put something down, and you back out, that's a Mishapara. Mishapara is a serious thing, guys. A curse is a serious thing, obviously. It's also to curse another person. It's an issue of the Arisa. Okay? And if someone, God forbid, curses you, you're supposed to be silent. What does it say in Shmon Esrei three times a day? What does it say we say? Adam, Nafshi Tidom, right? Your soul is silent. You're not supposed to respond. It's a terrible thing the guy did. The guy's over in Issa the Arisa to do that. And it's certainly from the Chacham Zichronim Levrach, if they put a claw on that, then you put down money, you back out, it's a serious, serious thing. So please get that. That's the second malach I wanted to get. Is there a Mishapara on a what? On putting down a mashkon and you back out of it. Riff says no, it brings a riot from our Gemara. Ramban says you have no riot, and I'm combining the Ksos that says the Ramban, we want to say it's Ramban L'Shitoso. Because why is there no Ischaivus here? Because a Mashko needs what? A background, a landscape of a Chof. There was no Chof. But if you learn like the Ramban, that what? You can create Ischaivus verbally. The only thing is it doesn't work for a Kin and Kesef. Then there is that background. So maybe there is a Mishapara. And the Ramban holds maybe there is. And then the last Nakuda was the Mordechai. When is there over Mishapara? When you've decided from the beginning that you're going to buy it, you put the thing down and you back out. Then there's a Mishapara. But if you only decide after you back out, which he says, that's a pshat in our Gemara, which I necessarily didn't think that was a pshat.
How do you figure out?
Like I said, a lot of times people go, they don't know if they want to buy something. They say, I'll put something down and then I'll decide afterwards if I want to buy it or not. In that case, you back out, there's no Mishapara. If you know you want to buy the thing, you put something down, then that's Mishapara. Yes, Ephraim.
Question about this, the Kinyan Chalipin.
Yeah, real quick, because we got a good viper. Yeah, go ahead.
Kinyan Chalipin, it says he's the Skyer. Does that mean
I couldn't hear you. What?
Kinyan Khalifin.
Yes.
Not Shalda Mishalda, like Sudar for a Karka.
Yes.
Can you back out after the Khalifin is done? Like, is he...
No, it's done already.
He's Kohen 100%.
It's done. He's Kohen 100%. Correct.
100%.
It's one step. That's it. That's why the Decevus writes, it's Lakayim Kol Davar. What's the best Kinyan in the world? Archetypical Kinyan? A Sudar. It works for Karka. It works for Metalpun. That's it. Okay.
Rabbi,
let's go.
Rabbi would be Mahalakha Darman. Lixos.
Yeah, remember we had three possibilities why a mashkon in the sugya? We had three possibilities. The first possibility is there was no chov. There's no landscape of chov, so therefore the mashkon is meaningless. Yes? If you hold like that, then you understand why there's no mishapara. That's the way the Rif learns, right? Because the mashkon is meaningless. So it's like you didn't do anything. It's not like when you put down money where there could be a mishapara. You follow me? Here the mashkon you put down was meaningless. That was one mahalach. That was the first mahalach we had in Rishonim. The second mahalach we had in Rishonim was that you can create a schaivus verbally. The problem is for kinyan kesef, it's not good for kedushin. We extend it even to buying the evid. You need to have something be'en. So therefore the mashkon did not work. But theoretically there is some background that's created with your verbalization of putting down the mashkon. There was a schaivus created. It's just not good enough for the mechanics of Kesef Kedushin. So it could be, Ben, if you hold like that Ramban, I'm saying, and that's what the Xos points out himself, that it could very well be that serves to create a background enough to say that if you back out, there's a Mishapara. And I'm saying it works well because the Ramban said to the Rif, don't bring a Raya from our Gemara, that there's no Mishapara. He rejects the Raya. That opens the door to say maybe there is. And that fits well with the Ramban learning our Gemara. You understand what I'm saying? Fits beautiful. So that's the Chiddush we want to suggest, the Ramban Lashitasa.
But why,
I like
just
that.
Just because there's a chov, why does that lend itself to being mishapara?
What'd you say?
Just because there's a chov, why?
Because lemaisa, you're backing out of something that was concrete.
Even though that the chov,
even though it's not kesef, it wasn't mos, but
the chov itself, we said
I understand, but there was a conceptual verbalization that was created, ischaivus, and backing out of that, there is room to say there would be mishapara. That ischaivus creates a mishapara if you back out.
In general, what can you do with that ischaivus?
It obligates you to pay a guy. I can wake up one morning and say, I owe a guy $100,000. There are eight in there, I got to pay it.
With a mashkin, I'm saying.
With a mashkin, it creates ischaivus, but it doesn't create a kinyan kesef, like
what
I said.
What is the ischaivus?
The ischaivus, if there were eight in there, I will eventually have to pay it, lemaisa. But it's not like it's binding. It's not binding.
So if it's not binding, why should that be?
Because Lamaisa, it's not like it's nothing. It's not like it's nothing.
At the end of the day, what does it do?
What does it act upon, Lamaisa? What it could act upon, I'm saying, is this. A Mishapara. What other nafkamina we got to think about? Okay, but at least it would create this.
Yes, stam, according to
Ramban. I mean, Ischaivus means something. Ischaivus means something verbally, Lamaisa. You can't be Mishaiv yourself verbally. Well, I'm wondering, if there are aid in Lamaisa, maybe a guy has to pay. There is a notion, you have to make a kingdom. You have to do a kinyan suitor. There was no kinyan made. It at least allows you, Pinchas, that if a kinyan would be made, it would be binding. If a kinyan would be made, it would be binding. It's only that if there would be a kinyan made, it would be binding. So that's enough to give it a background and give it a mishapara. I hear what you're bothered about. I'm saying, but at least it creates something. That if I make a kinyan suitor, you got to pay $100,000. Okay? Saivus baal peh lemaisa. The Rambam says I don't even need a kinyan. The Rambam says, if I wake up one morning and say, oh, I got $100,000, I'm chayv to pay if they're raiding. Even if I didn't make a kinyan. So at least according to the Rambam, maybe there's such a concept. And according to Tosafos, you need to make a kinyan suitor, but okay. But at least it created something that a kinyan suitor would be chal on. You hear what I'm saying? That's what you got to say. Okay, good. That's the second mouth. Let's go now. I want to see Vaitu in the Gemara. Okay? Let's go. Simi, why don't you read the Gemara? Yeah? Tana Rabbanan. Let's go. Chesem and Beis. Let's see inside. Tana Rabbanan. Go ahead. Tana Rabbanan, go ahead. The first Tana Rabbanan, it's about eight lines from the top. Let's see inside. Go ahead. You got it? The end of the line. Go ahead. So he says to her, what? I want to miscatish you with the money, yes? $100, yeah? Oh, she takes the money and throws it into the what? Throws it into the sea, Ola what?
Or
to the furnace, Ola what? Or anything that what? Anything that's going to destroy the money. So what does the Gemara say? Ain't a what? Excellent. The fact that she threw it and chucked it into the yam or to the furnace or to something that destroys the money shows she was not interested in marrying this man. And therefore it's a statement of rejection. And therefore it's not a what? It's not a good kedushin. Okay? That's a very, very clear case, correct? She took the money and she threw it out. Yeah? Please get this. And this is going to be very, very mechudish. Okay, we'll see if we can have time to get to it today. The Meiri writes, Adam, let's get it. The Meiri writes right here, I gave it to you, that she took it in anger. She was angry, and she threw it to the Yam. And it's mashma from the Meiri that she threw it to the Yam even after Tokenei Dibor. She threw it to the Yam after Tokenei Dibor. Okay, it can't be like 2 hours later, but Lamaisa, she was angry, and she took the money, and she threw it out, Lamaisa, in such a way, the Kas. So even if she did it after what? Tokenei Dibor, the halacha is what? No Kiddushin. You got the Miri's comment on this? She took it with anger, and even if she does it a little bit after Tokenei Dibor, it's still a rejection and not a good Kiddushin.
Why is that a Kiddush?
Because I would say after Tokenei Dibor, you know.
Still Maisa throwing the light.
Okay, but she did it later. She did it later. On the other hand, though, what happens if she's very calm? She looks very happy, and she throws it into the sea. What do you say about that? She does it immediately. She does it. This is still the Meiri. She does it benachas. She takes the money, does it benachas, and throws it in the sea. What do you say to that?
She's
mekudeshes. She needs a get. The Meiri says, Halach Lamais, it depends on her demeanor. She does it with anger, then even if she does it outside Tokenei Dibor, it's a rejection. If she does it what? With calm, then the Halach is, even if she does it immediately, it's a good Kiddushim. That's the Chiddush of the Meiri. Amazing. However, the Riyaz Zaken on the spot I gave you, the Riyaz Zaken quotes Rabbeinu Nissim that says, only she takes in anger and throws it out immediately. You need both. The Riyaz Zaken Meshem Rabbeinu Nissim writes, you need anger and you need Tokenei Dibor. And then it's not a good Kiddushin. But if she takes it in front of Edim, and she shows the Edim, and it's after Tokenei Dibor, she throws it in the sea, what do they hold? It's a good Kiddushin. You need a get. Okay?
It's only in anger?
So you see Beferish. He writes, the only time that it's not a good Kiddushin. You need both feet. According to the Tosfos Riyaz Zaken Rabbeinu Nissim. You have to do with anger and throw it immediately. You need both. And he writes, if you do it with anger, you don't throw it immediately. Or you do it quietly, with a nice demeanor, you throw it away. You need a get. So please get that down. Tosfos Riyaz Zaken Rabbeinu Nissim say you need two things for it to be a rejection, not Kiddushin. You need to do it immediately, and you need anger. According to the Meiri, what do you need? Halacha Lamaisa. According to the Meiri, to be the rejection, it has to be you take it because, right?
Even after
Tokenei Dibor, it's enough. Kas is enough. One nekud is enough. Okay? We got that? It's a very clear machlokes in Shoinim. Now, I found in the Shulchan Aruch, I couldn't believe it, in Simen Lamed, in Ibn Ezer, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Lamed in the Gilyon Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kiveger, Sifkon Zayin, the Pesachei Tshuva, Simen Lamed, Sifkon Gimel, quotes the Chacham Svi, who says that you threw a Tokenei Dibor. That's what they want to say. You have to throw a Tokenei Dibor. Okay? You have to be able to throw a Tokenei Dibor. That's what they want to tie in. Okay? They like the Riyaz Zaken. You have to throw a Tokenei Dibor, otherwise you're in trouble. That's what the Rabbi Kiveger writes, and the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chacham Svi, says the same thing. Okay? He says the same thing. You have to throw a Tokenei Dibor. Okay? So Halacha L'maisa, who are we holding like? Not like the Meiri. We're holding like the Tosfos Zaken Meshem Rabbeinu Nissim. Yes? So what's the case? You have a beautiful chuppah, $100,000 wedding, fancy place, and everyone's dressed up. Chassid gives the money to the Kala, and she just throws it right by the river. I know of a Chassid of Talmud Chacham that told me once he had a Masada Kedushin in Botanical Gardens. And what happened? No, you're never supposed to, whenever wine you use, you always use yain mevushel, because you don't want a goy to touch it. If a goy touches yain mevushel, you got to throw it out. So this was in the 60s. This chosh of Talmud Chacham told the caterer, they didn't have yain mevushel in those days. He says, don't open it. I want to open it under the chuppah. He gets to the chuppah. You know what happens? It was open. You know what he did? He took the bottle and he threw it right in the little creek, in the brook there, in the botanical gardens. And he said, I'm not bringing Masada Kedushin until you bring me another bottle. He told me this day and age, he couldn't believe he did that. And everyone waited and they brought another bottle. Okay? But Lamaisa, that had nothing to do with what? Here, can you envision a simple, same thing where the woman, the Kala says, you know what? I don't want to marry you.
You find it in the botanical gardens.
What'd you say?
You find it, okay. I mean, it will be broken maybe, but it's still...
Okay, but in our case, well, she, the Kala, took the what? She took the money. What happened? Yeah, she took the money. What'd she do? She throws the money into the brook in the botanical gardens. What's the din in that case? So we said you just missed it. You have your Gemara. Open the Gemara. We just said it's a machlekes rishonim. You need two nakudas. You have to be angry, and you also have to be what? She has to do angry, and she also has to do the talking to dibor. Are we paskin like that?
How do we know that we paskin? He always says that he needs to be talking to dibor.
No, he says also you have to take it banger. Yeah, he says that. Tesri azokin. Because what?
Who do we paskin like?
The Pesach Tshuva says Yidavka b'zarokus of talking to Dibor. Okay,
he
doesn't say Kass, but we're assuming he's not going to argue on a Rishon. He's not going to argue on a Rishon. We assume he has to do with the Kass. Okay. Okay, it could be. He doesn't mention Kass. It's a good Nakud. Doesn't mention Kass. Okay, he doesn't mention Kass. So it comes out according to what Ben's saying. We have three Shittas. Do you need both Kass talking to Dibor? Or is it enough to have Kass even outside Tokhle Dibor? Or is it enough to just to throw a Tokhle Dibor?
That seems like the opinion of Zaviri. Zaviri says that just Tokhle Dibor is enough, regardless of if she...
No, the Miri said you could even do it outside Tokhle Dibor if you have Kass. The Miri didn't talk about if you don't have Kass. So basically we're saying this is a third Shita. This is a third Shita in Gedol Achron, okay? That it's enough to what? It's enough to just throw a Tokhle Dibor. Okay, I agree. They don't mention the notion Kass. But that's the understanding, I think, Ben. I don't know. But you want to say it? We could call it three shittas. Okay, but I want you to get this as a bomb kasha. If we assume like this Ladina, please get this. We learned a few weeks ago that what does the Gemara say in the Dharma, Daf Pei Zayin Amar Alef Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Chesem Beis, that Token Edibur is Kedibur Dami in all areas except for four. What are the four exceptions to the rule? That Token Edibur is Kedibur Dami. There are four exceptions. Tok.
No,
Kidei, Dibor, Kidibor Dami. Yes, four exceptions. Chutz, Kedushin, excellent Adam, Gittin, Avodah Zara,
oh, yeah.
And what else? Megadev.
I didn't remember that one.
These four categories, there is no din of talking to Dibor, Kidibor Dami. So if that's the case, the Machna has a bomb kasha. What does the Machna ask? He says, okay, we'll post can assume that as long as she throws it in the canal or the brook, within Tokhle Dibor, she rejects the Kedushin. What are you talking about? And we're suggesting she doesn't even have to be angry. Or we're saying, or you could read into it, she's automatically angry. What's the answer? What do you mean? Tokhle Dibor doesn't work by Kedushin. So how can this whole thing work? It's a Peladis Kasha. It's a Bam Kasha, the Machna's Kasha. How can this be? It's a strong kasha.
It's before us that.
Tokere Dibor, Kedibor Dami, Chutz Mekedushin. Kasma Kadashim says, I'm joking. Forget about it. It's Chal.
So then why could she do it?
What are the two approaches we said to Tokere Dibor? Remember the mechanics? What were the two approaches?
Amish or Kid.
Right. So what do we say? Either it's what? It's an extension of the period, or it's a Schus Chazara.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Either it's a literal or elastic, we're wrong, so I should need to taught us. Whenever you have a Kavad Dimyon. What is the Kavad Dimyon? Is it literal or is it not literal? You remember we had that?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so the two approaches to Tokhle Dibor. So how on earth can she accept the Kedushin, Simi, you follow me, and then throw it in the river? It's too late already. We have a klal in two places in Shas that Tokhle Dibor and Kedibor does not work by Kedushin. Dave, you follow me? That's the Kasha.
She accepted, she just said okay, but she naturally...
Excellent, Simi, I'm proud of you. That's a very beautiful answer. Let's get it down. The Stipler writes in Rav Steinman. They both say a very similar answer. And they say she never said yes already. We're waiting to see what's going to be with her decision. And there is a klal called Hochiach Sofo Atchilaso. You have a process. The beginning, we're not sure what it is. And the end reveals what the beginning was. I couldn't hear you. That's only in the Nimamunus when you owed money. We only say that klal when you're owed money. Someone comes over and says, do you owe me money? And you're quiet. So I want you to get this, okay? Sofo, Hochiach al Tichloso. And Simi, even after Tokide Dibor, we say that cloud. Okay? So I'm going to write down.
Oh, so it's not that she's Hazara, it's that she never even bought it to begin.
Exactly. Correct. That is correct. Sofo, Hochiach al Tichloso. That is correct.
Is that
therefore, it's not subject, yes, to Tokide Dibor. No, that is the answer of the Stipler and Rav Steinman.
What about Sefer HaMach then?
We're going to get to it now. But this is the answer I thought of, and Simi, you're machaven to it. Yeah, very good. That was my answer. You never, she never said yes. It's an interesting thing, too. It's a very interesting thing. Amongst Goyim, you know, it's an interesting thing, too. I think amongst Goyim, you know, I don't know if it's really the case, because I've never been at a Goyish marriage, but I think they say I do, don't they?
Yeah.
Don't they say I do? You never have that in a Jewish marriage. The Kala doesn't say I do, right? I just, you know, you just assume she's, you know, she wants to get married,
well,
you know?
She accepts the...
She does accept the ring.
She puts out her hand.
Right, she puts it out. She puts out. I guess that's what you have to say. But she doesn't verbalize anything. Here, she took the ring right off her finger and threw it in the brook.
But she got it on her finger.
Right, okay, good.
No,
so there's
what... She didn't get it on her finger.
Right.
It's no rings.
It's just
a
cassette.
Right.
So, no, okay.
I think that's what we're saying. So,
no, she got it.
She lost all
right.
And
so,
she did.
She never accepted it. She never accepted it. That's the answer that we're given. Okay. That's one answer. Come on, let's get it.
That's what we're saying.
And there's no decision, so therefore it's no chazara. She never said yes. Okay, what's the answer to the Makna?
If we're taking, just because you take something,
the Makna has a tremendous chiddush. Let's get it.
Here's a gift and you take it.
Right, the Makna has a tremendous chiddush. What does the Makna say? Let's get it. The Makna says that you can't be chozer b'dibor without a maisa. But you can be chozer with a maisa. Because a mice is mavatal a mice. It's a phenomenal chiddush, the Makna says. Okay? The Makna says himself that a mice can mavatal a mice. That's a very big chiddush. Halach la mice. Meaning when we say that asiv dibor mavatal dibor does not work by kedushin, that means only legabi the dibor doesn't work by kedushin. But legabi a mice, what's the din? A mice can subtract a mice. And mavatal maisa. As long as it's done tokenei dibor, you're going to have to say. Okay? As long as you're going to say it's done tokenei dibor. Okay? That's the chiddush lamaisa. That's the second answer that we want to say. That's what the Makna himself says. That's a big chiddush. Like Ben asked me in Seder. Remember we said if a guy gives her the ring, he says, I'm going to sleep, and he grabs it back from her. Is that going to get rid of the kedushin? You did a maisa. No? You did a maisa. We were always under the impression that it doesn't work. Once you're Mekadisher, that's it. You can't say, oh, I'm just joking. That's not acceptable. But if you grab it back from her, it's good. Maybe according to the Makna, it is good. When the Gemara says that Dibor doesn't work, it means what? That token of Dibor doesn't work by condition means that Dibor doesn't work. But if you do a Maisa, it would work. So here she's doing a Maisa. So therefore, that's a stunning Kiddush. But Lamaisa, I want you to point out, Lamaisa, I thought this works very well. The first answer that we gave, the Stipler the Stipler and Rav Steinman, yes, Shlita? I think this works beautifully with the Miri. Because the Miri said what? She took it with anger. If she took it with anger, then Sofo Mochiach Al Tchiloso. But if she took it Beratzon and she was totally calm and in a calm demeanor, and she threw it in there, that shouldn't work. That Lamaisa should not work because that's like a Chazar. That's like Simi said. She agreed to the condition, now she's backing out. That shouldn't work, Tokenei Dibor. I'm just saying, according to the Miri, you understand very well this notion of what? This notion of anger. Because the anger shows that what? She never made the decision. She never said yes. It was all one process. And Sofo is Mochiach Atchiloso. So therefore it's not a what? Therefore it's not a problem. Therefore it's not a problem, Lach Lamaisa. Therefore it's not a problem. The phone, get rid of it. Put it in here. Okay? So that's the din. Okay? That's the din. Okay? We got the Chiddush. I'm saying the Meiri works beautifully that she got angry. She got angry, then it shows that what there never was a decision at all. But if she took it willingly, it's much harder. And that Tosfos Riazakin Lamaisa said you needed two things. You needed anger and you needed Tokenei Dibor. According to the Meiri, he said only if you had anger, it's enough. He said even if you didn't throw it, Lamaisa. Remember he said even if you throw it Acher Tokenei Dibor, it was enough to cancel the Kedushin. Because we could say what? We could say that, it works what? It works Lamaisa. We could say it works even. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, according to the Miri himself said, Pinchas, that it worked, the Chazara, even after what? Tokenei Dibor. You follow me? According to the Stifler, maybe you have to be more constrictive, Lamaisa, to keep it within Tokere Dibur. Perhaps. Halacha Lamaisa.
For the other side, it works very well with the Stifler.
Right. I'm just saying that if you work the Meiri Sfar of anger, then it should be able to work even outside of Tokere Dibur, because she never agreed to it. So it's Sofo Mochiach Atchilaso. If she took it Baratzon, then you say it's a problem, Halacha Lamaisa, that she was Chozerbo, and it shouldn't work even Tokere Dibur. That's what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying?
So we're saying with the second side of the Miri, it works very well. With the first side, you might have to constrict it and say...
What do you mean the second side? The Miri said you need Lamaisa only Kass.
The Miri said
if you have Kass,
even if it's Achar Tokid,
it's good. It's a good rejection.
It's a good rejection.
Correct.
If you do it immediately, if you accept it in Nachas,
yes.
Even if you throw it immediately, it's still going to be good.
That's correct.
So according to the second Tzad, where she does it in Nachas, that works very well with the Stipler and the Steinman, because the fact that she
took it calmly
shows that she wants it. And then,
right. And then the quick Chazar is too late.
Yeah.
Even Tokid Eber, well said. Excellent. Excellent.
Yes,
very good.
It all has to do with her. It doesn't make a difference what people think. If she, in her mind, thought that she's taking it to throw it, not to accept it as a...
No, we view that halakhically as a decision. If she did it in a calm manner, that's halakhically a decision. Don't.
Why? That doesn't make sense.
That's what we say, yeah, objectively.
That doesn't make sense.
You say that again with
the Meiri? The Meiri says if you're angry, then even outside talking to Zebra, it's a rejection. If you do it calmly, then even if you throw it talking to Dibor, it's good.
Yeah.
Kedusha. So that works well, because if you take it calmly and in a calm demeanor, that shows a decision was made, and therefore you can't do Chazar, even talk to Dibor.
How do we decide if it's
okay?
Calm? Yeah, it's
I can't hear you.
How do we decide if it's calm?
Oh, we have to, you know, it's descriptively, if she's, you know, having a temper tantrum,
if
you know?
A temper tantrum, they're going to try to give her...
Okay, that's the difference. That's the difference. That's how we analyze whether it's anger or what, whether it's not. Ben, you got that? You got it?
No,
well, let's say it again.
I say that all the time.
No, let's say it again.
The machne,
no, this is working the stipler, not the machne. The machne has a schir schnifle that a mice can destroy. The stipler and Steimer are saying there never was a decision. I'm saying there never was a decision because you had kass. And therefore, if you have kass, then even you could even decide after Tokenei Dibor, throw it away.
Yeah.
Because not a chazar. But if you take it calmly, like Pinchas said, and you throw it even Tokenei Dibor, the calmness we view objectively as a decision, and it's a chazara. And even chazara Tokenei Dibor is not acceptable.
All you accept if you
okay?
That's
how the Stipler and the Rosh Chaim work well with the Miri.
The Stipler and Rosh Chaim, right when she makes that decision.
I can't hear which
one. Isn't that conflict?
No.
No.
I'm trying to find a test case.
What's the difficulty? What's the problem?
Case.
The Miri says again, Kass is the Nakuda. Yes? The Kass is the Nakuda, yes?
Yeah.
So therefore you can reject it even after Tokenei Dibor, yes? Yeah? But if you take it calmly, then even if you reject it Tokenei Dibor, it's too late. It's a good condition. You need a get. Yes? That's the Miri. I'm saying now plug in Rav Steinman and the Stipler. We say that the whole Sfar is not a Chazara. It's all Sofa Mochiach HaTchilasa, like Simi said. She never made a decision. So that's good. It works well that you require Kass from the outset. Because if there was no Kass from the outset, I mean, we assume it was a decision that she wanted the Kedusha, now she wants to back out. Chazara, even Tokenei Dibor is bad. Okay? That works well with the Rav Steinman and the Stipler with the Miri. Not working with the Machna. Machna's Kiddush is a Kiddush Nifla.
I don't really understand that Kiddush. What does that mean?
The Machna?
I understand.
No, it just meant that there was retraction with Dibor. A retraction with Dibor is not a retraction, but a Mice is. It's a Kiddush.
Yeah.
Talking to Dibor, he was talking about a Dibor.
It's a Kiddush.
Where you want to articulate in a retraction. It's a tremendous Kiddush that he's saying.
Rabbi, you know, even with those four exceptions,
yes.
Outside of Dibor.
Yeah.
Inside doesn't matter. Can we say that maybe this is an exception even to that rule? Like maybe Kedushin in general.
That's what we're doing.
But this is not considered. This isn't considered Tokenei Dibor.
This case is different because
you're saying it's not even Tokenei Dibor though.
Exactly. That's what we're saying because there was no decision made. You're right. That's exactly what we're saying. It's not subject to it. There was no decision made. When you bring up Tokenei Dibor, there was a decision made. You're trying to retract from it. There was never a first decision. That's the Chiddush of this Gemara.
Maybe you can apply it to this case of Kedushin. That if he's calm and that she is calm and 2 seconds later...
Yes, that's what we're saying. In the case where you're calm and a Hanami, it's too late.
It's not too late.
No, that's the Chiddush of the Miri. Miri wants to make that distinction, so I think it plugs in well. If you throw it away and you're angry from the reyatza, you can even do that after the tofet nidibur. She's having a temper tantrum, takes her 10 minutes to throw it out because she never had a decision. It was sofa mochich atchilos. Okay. Biter now. Let's see this now, Lamaisa. Look at Rashi. Go ahead. Simi, because I want to get the Chumash. We got to get the Chumash. Let's see Rashi. Look at Rashi. Let's go. Let's see Rashi. Go ahead. Nitalaso? Let's go. Nitalaso is our Kosh Liyam. Yeah, read the Dibra Masko. Go on, Nitalaso? She did it. What is the key word in this Rashi? Rashi says, Befonov. Why does she have to do it Befonov? She has to throw it before him.
Because if not, the Maisa wouldn't be talking to Edibor, but she was walking.
Well, the Magna writes. Let's say you develop a scenario, he quickly moves away, but it's still talking to Edibor. What happens if she throws it Shalom Bafanov, says the Magna? Please get it down. The Magna writes. Open up the Gemara, Ephraim. Okay? Please look. Come on, let's go. What's the Chiddush? Not on the Chumash. Don't use the Chumash as the support. Okay, Simi, listen to this. What's the din if she throws it away, Shalom B'Fanav? The Makna writes from Rashi, it's a good Kedushin.
Wait, Shalom B'Fanav during Tofet Dibur?
Yes.
It's not possible.
He says it's still a good Kedushin. The Makna says, then he says like you, Simi, get it down. Then he's dunking, he says, Pum Fakir. He says, if you throw it Shalom B'Fanav, for sure it's bad. Only if you throw it B'Fanav, is there a Havamina? Maybe she wants to check whether he's a hot-tempered guy or not.
I mean, the reason is because...
What'd you say?
Yeah, like that. It's outside of the
Dibur. No, let's get it again. The Machna is Medayik from Rashi. That if she... He starts off saying that if she throws it in front of... Shalom B'Fanav, it's a good Kedushin.
No.
It's not a rejection. You have to do it B'Fanav. Then the Machna continues and he says no. He says, I want to say Pum Fakir. If you throw it Shalom B'Fanav, it's Pshita, she's not interested in the Kedushin.
It's not totally Dibur.
1 second. No, it's Pshita, she doesn't want the Kedushin if she throws it Shalom B'Fanav. But if she throws it B'Fanav, you might add a Havamina, she's just trying to check whether he's a hot-tempered guy or not. Kamash Milan, it's also bad. So at the end of the day, he writes from Rashi that B'Fanav is Lav Dafka. Okay? Both cases are bad. B'Fanav is Shalom B'Fanav. Her rejection is a rejection of the Kedushin. Comes along the Yad David, the Sefer Yad David, let's get it. Yad David, one of the great Gadol Achronim. Okay, 1 sec. He writes like this. Let's go, come on. The Yad David is Mechadesh, is Medayik from the Ritva. The Dafki, if you throw it B'Fanav, what's the din? Dafki, you throw it B'Fanav in a Mokum that's not destroyed. Where it's not going to get destroyed, she's not Chayev Bachrayas. But if you throw it Shalom B'Fanav, she's Chayev Bachrayas. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. We're going to get to it on Sunday. If she throws it in a way where she is not chayv to pay if she destroys it, halacha lemaisa, that's dafk if she throws it b'funav to a makom that she's not going to be chayv to pay, then she's not chayv b'achrayas. But if she throws it shalom b'funav, she's chayv. What does the notion of achrayas mean?
Got to pay him for the
kesef. Well, the Gemara is going to say, Viter,
yeah, it's very clear.
That what? She doesn't want to have to pay for the money. Right? She doesn't want to have to pay the money. She must have agreed to the Kedushin. She must have agreed to the Kedushin.
If she doesn't want
to
pay.
She must have agreed to the Kedushin. Allah Almighty. So she doesn't want to have to pay.
That's
so
what the Rashi says.
No,
yeah.
So I'm saying the Yad David is Medayik from the Ritva, that Dafkiv she throws B'Fanav to a Makom Shena Ovud, then she's not Chayiv to pay. And therefore there's not going to be what? It's not going to be a Kedushin. But if she throws it Shalom B'Fanav, then she's going to be Chayiv to pay Allah Almighty. So in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, the Yad David is Medayik, when is she responsible to pay? He doesn't discuss about Kedushin or not. But he says, she's given the item. She throws the item away. Is she responsible to pay or not? She's responsible to pay when she throws it Shalom B'Fanav, she's chayv to pay. But if she throws it to a makom, B'Fanav, that's not going to get destroyed, she's not chayv b'achrayis. She's not chayv b'achrayis, halach l'maisa. And therefore, that's where the Yad David is mistopic. He quotes the Sefer, Megillah Sefer, that's mistopic. When you throw it to a makom that doesn't get destroyed, do you need Zrikid B'Fanav or even Shalom B'Fanav to say Einim Mekudeshes? Because again, What is she doing with the money? What is she doing with the money? She's taking the money and throwing it away.
Into the fire.
That's a rejection. Whatever she throws it to a place where it's not going to get destroyed. Is that also a rejection? Halacha l'maisa. Is it only l'maisa that you... In other words, I want you guys to get this. When you are befunuf, you want this to be a rejection. Yes? Yeah? So maybe you could throw it to a place where it's not going to get destroyed. And even befunuf, that will be a rejection.
Like this.
Would you be chayav though?
Right. Right, makom sheino avod. So he's mistapek l'maisa, where you throw it to a makom sheino avod, do you need befunuf, or is even shalom befunuf? So he wants to bring a raya, it could very well be, that you need what? Rashi goes out of his way to say befunuf. Why does Rashi say befunuf? So it could very well be that he's being going to cholik on the makna. The makna, we said, says befunuf is lav dafka. Then when she throws it away, it's befunuf and shalom befunuf. Both are bad. No, the Adavid has a side from the Sefer Megillah Sefer that maybe only when you throw it what? Only when you throw it the fun of Allah says it's going to be a bad Kedushin. But Shalom fun of would not be a bad Kedushin. Let's say you don't throw it to the feet. You throw it, you know, you throw it not in front of them, but it's not going to be destroyed. Is that also a rejection or not? The basic question is, and once you get down, it's a machlek, the Makna and the Adavid is the fun of Dafka or Lav Dafka. When she throws the money away, is that a rejection or is not a rejection?
Magnus says
both befunuf shalom befunuf is rejection. It's bad. It's pashut shalom befunuf is bad. He says shalom befunuf is a bad kedushin. The fun of Rashi wanted to say is also bad because you might have a havamina.
At the end of the day, it's
Because you want to, you might have a havamina. She's trying to check whether he's quick tempered or not. But both of them are rejections, bad kedushin according to the Magnus. The Adavid has a suffix. Aside from the Gilas Sefer, that maybe when you throw it, the fun of Allah Chalamaisa, you need Dafka the fun of. Maybe Shalom the fun of it would still be a good Kedushin. He's mistopic. Okay? So I want you to get that down. Was Rashi basically Dafka or Lav Dafka? You follow what I'm saying? We're talking about a case where you don't destroy it. Not the case where you throw it to the Yam and what we'll see on Sunday, Mr. Shem. Where you don't get it destroyed. But you threw it what? You threw it shalom befunuf. Is that a rejection or not? Makna says for sure it is. Yad David says maybe it's not. Wasn't done befunuf. You didn't destroy it. For some reason, maybe she was practicing or throwing. So maybe it's considered to be what? It's a possibility. Okay? We got it? Okay, let's go to Chumash now. Let's go pick it up on Sunday if it's not the Shem. Everyone be here on Sunday. Guys, we're mayor. We got to be worried about our chaver. So let's get them. We got to motivate them to come. Okay, let's go. I want to speak about the following. Guys, get this down. It's a mahalach, okay, the parsha. Let's get it. One of the 48 kinyanim. You got it, Dovi? Let's go. There are 48 kinyanim in Torah. The Vilna Gaon and his Bir on Mishlei says that the word Eishes Chayil, Chayil is 48 in Gematria. And you look through Eishes Chayil, it corresponds to one of the 48 kinyanim, every single one. So, the Vilna Gaon is Masber there. What corresponds to Shmias Ozen, which is one of the 48 Kinyan? Listening. Listening, guys. Listening. Shmias Ozen is listening. Bolitz on this. Right? Remember we discussed it. Right? So what does it mean? Humor is good. Simple is good. But not Litz on this. So what does this mean? Shmias Ozen is Lechem Atzlus Lo Sochel. Shmias Ozen is focus. Listening. Laziness is the opposite of that. You know, you sing Lechem Atzlus Lo Sochel in Eishes Chayil? That corresponds with that kinyan, says the Vilna Gaon. Because Shmias Ozen is the heightening of focus and concentration. It is the opposite of being an Otzel. And that's exactly what I want to speak about. Of all the senses that we have, Hashem gave us all the senses. But the greatest sense of all, it's hard to rate them, but the greatest sense of all is Shmia. Listening. And I'll prove it to you. The Mishnah writes in Baba Kama that if someone causes someone to be deaf, you pay his whole worth. If you cause someone to be blind and he loses his eye, you only pay the worth of the eye. And the Mishnah doesn't say what the difference is. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, you know why? Because if you cause someone to spiritually asphyxiate himself, said Mordechai Miller, he can no longer hear. He can't hear any mussar or any critique. He can't be complimented either. He can't work on the compliment. He can't work on the mussar. You spiritually have asphyxiated him. Rav Abramsky Zatzal's widow was a great mulumetis. She became deaf later in life, and she said she now understood this Mishnah. Everyone's having a conversation. She doesn't know what's flying. It's terrible. You feel separated. It's your link to society. You're linked to your chaver, your rebbein. And therefore, you have to pay the whole worth of the person. Because shmiya is the greatest sense. The Maharal writes that human beings have a base kibul. A base kibul. They have a receptacle. Just like a kli has a base kibul. A kli, you know, kli for tumah has a base kibul. What is the base kibul for a human being? His ears. Her ears. You take in what is good. God forbid you take in what is bad. And it affects you. And you know what the Maharal writes based on the Gemara Ksubis? That Hashem in his ultimate wisdom, when he made ears, he made a part of the ear that could block up Lashon Hara and Nivul Peh. He actually made a part of the ear. It wasn't enough to be able to put your finger in your ear. That would be a chisarim. Hashem is trying to teach us that within the ear itself, you have a flap that can stop Lashon Hara and Nivul Peh and Dvarim Roim and Dvarim Betelim. To show to you and highlight to you how important the koach, the kinyan is of Shmiya. To show its validity, show its strength, that you have that koach. That part of the actual structure of the ear has this ability to block up the Lashon Hara and the Nivul Peh. That's an amazing thing. Hashem could have just said, put your finger in your ear and you won't be able to hear it. No, it's not enough. With this in mind, I think you can answer Akasha of the Chiddush Yehorim. You know, the Ramban discusses in Mishpatim, which is our Parsha, all the dinim that we have in Mishpatim. What's the first one? Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is the first one. And he gives a different svaras, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. He says Zecher the creation of the world with Yovel and Shemitah. That's what the Ramban writes. But the Gemara in our Masechta, what we're learning this year in Kiddushin, Achav Bezim and Beis says, why at the end of the 6 years, the Parsha says, the Torah HaKadosh, that if he selects to stay with his Adam, he has to have his ear pierced the right ear. He wants to stay on with the Adam. Why does he need his ear pierced? So the Gemara writes, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, I believe, says it, that ear that heard when we received the Torah, that Hashem is the only master of the world, is the King of Kings, the King of the universe, and we are supposed to listen to him. And this Eved Ivri has selected to stay on with his Adon, in a sense, not completely, I'm not saying it's Avodah Zarah, but supplanting the Eivishter. In a sense, he doesn't appreciate it, and therefore, this Aveira is a terrible Aveira. What did he do? How did he become an Eved? He stole money, he didn't have money to pay back, so he didn't listen to Hashem on the Isra of Gezel. So therefore what? We pierce his ear. That's what the Gemara says in Kedushin Chav Bezim and Beis. So the Kasha of Kedushin Arim says, why is it only when it comes to an Eved Ivri by Gezel? Any Avera you do, we should what? We should get pierced our ear. No? That's the Kasha of the Kedushin Arim. The Gemara says, oh, he pierced his ear because he didn't listen to the Torah about not stealing. So the Kedushin Arim says, every Avera you do, should be pierced, your ear should be pierced. Every aveira in the Torah, your ear should be pierced. Halacha lemaisa. Why should it be pierced? Because you didn't listen to the Torah. So what's the din? So the answer is as follows. And this is where Rav Golvik Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva Kiryat Yavne, said. He said that after 6 years, the Eved Ivri realized that he's listening to the master. He can wake him up 3 o'clock in the morning and he has to listen to whatever he says. But at the end of the 6 years, now he has the ability to go back to his master, Ribbono Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he decides not to. And he's making a statement that he doesn't appreciate the Koach HaShmiah. And that's worse than any other Aveira. That he has abused his ability to hear and listen properly to Hashem, and he wants to stay by the Adam. Dafka, that guy needs his ear pierced. Because he's shown more than anyone else that there's a din of a Koach HaShmiah that he doesn't appreciate. Because after 6 years, he should have realized what it was all about. And he didn't. And he wants to stay with the master, so therefore we pierce his ear. And therefore it's not acceptable. Because someone that doesn't appreciate the Koach HaShmiah of listening needs his ear to be pierced. And this brings to mind the great Gaon Mitzvah Solomon, Shlita, the Mashgiach and Lekush of Refu Shlema. He answered the following kasha, many Gedol Achronim ask, a Ben Sora Mora has been judged al Sofa, al Shem Sofa. That what's going to happen? He's going to end up being a murderer. Even though he's a glutton now and a drunk, but he's going to end up being a murderer. The Torah predicts in Mishnah and Bezabez, he's going to be a murderer, we kill him now. What do we say by Yishmael? Hashem judges Yishmael by Ashir Husham, where he was holding. Why, when it comes to Ben Sora Mora, the Torah projects what's going to be, we kill him now, we look to the future, and by Yishmael, we judge him where he's at. What's the difference? It's stirim. They're different answers. But the great Gaon Mitzchau Solomon Shlita said like this, that a Ben Sora Mora has exhibited that he cannot listen. Lo shamu l'kol aviv v'imo. He will not listen to his parents. And said to Mitzchau Solomon, a guy that can't listen is done. There's no hope for him. We kill him right now. Yishmael, though, this exhibit, he listened to his mother who to marry, and Rashi says he did tshuva. He exhibited that he could listen, and he could internalize, and he could change.
Where does Rashi say that?
Rashi says in Bereishis that he did tshuva by the kfura.
Oh,
that he let Yitzchak go. Yeah, that he also listened to his mother who to marry. So what I'm bringing out is this koich of shmiah. It's the amazing koach of Shmiah that we have to realize. And that's the difference. You know, many years ago, when they dedicated the Fifth World Library in the late 60s, Reb Moshe came, Satzal. And Reb Moshe spoke there. And he said, you know, amongst the non-Jews there have books. It's just books. But amongst the Yidim is a Mesorah. Magid Dvarav Liakov. Magid means a Haggadah. You say over. From a Rebbe to a Talmud, from a Talmud to a Rebbe, it's passed down as a Mesorah through a Dibor. It's not just stamp books. You know, what do we say in Tehillim, the second Yahaluka? Magid Rav Yaakov, Chukov Mishpilav Yisrael, Lo Asachain, Lo Goyim Bayadum, Haluka. Because they don't have this notion, they just have books. There's no notion of Shmiah, of saying over, of having that Mesorah. There's a very powerful pasuk in Mishlei that's scary. And Reb Chaim Shmuel Levis was masbirit. It says in Mishlei, Mesir Asnoa Mishmoa Torah Tfiloso Toeva. Actually, Gam Tfiloso Toeva. Mesir Asnoa Mishmoa Torah. You remove your ear from listening to Torah, then the guy who does that, his tfila will be an abomination.
Could you say that again?
Meser asnoa mishmoa Torah gam tfiloso toeva. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, someone who can't listen to other one, someone's divrei Torah, Hashem pays him back midah keneged midah, and he will not listen to that guy's davening. Not only does not listen, his tefillah is an abomination. Toeva is a very strong language. There are those people that, you know, open up svarim during shiurim and drushes, and they don't listen. Balabatim do that. It's not nice. First of all, remember Chavetz Chaim was, remember we said the Torah convention? He was way in the back and he had a sefer open. Someone got out to speak and he closed it. They said, Rebbe, you can't hear from there. He said, so what? It's not nice. But this pasuk says, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, if you cannot use the Shmias Ozen, we have to listen. We have to be people to listen, internalize. Internalize the focus. That's what Shmias Ozen is, the greatest sense. That's one of the kinyonim. That you can't be Kona Torah Rosh Koyle Shlita. And Psaic once said that if you don't have these kinyanim, you're stealing the Torah. One of the kinyanim is Shmias Ozen. That's what we want to try to do, is to use Shmias Ozen. That's why we want to suggest of the first of all the dinim mishpatim is Eved Ivri. Maybe to highlight this notion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's all based on this. I'm going to give you all these dinim, but you have to get this kinyan of Koach HaShmir. If you get it, then everything good will follow from it. And that's why Eved Ivri was perhaps the first dinim. Okay, we'll stop here. We have a wonderful Shabbos. Let's stop a minute. We have a minion? Simi, you want David? Yeah, we got maybe top. We get one.